The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Thank you. I sign on the text line here, Tyler, and here's the first thing I see, which is happening during the Zoakley show.
Okay.
Things Tyler basically said.
Oh, wow. I love this. Is this my wife texted in or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
Right. Here's things you have basically said.
All right, I'll go true or false. Let's go true or false style.
Right. Drew Lock is a bust, and it's not Pat Shermer's fault. He doesn't want to polish a turd.
True-ish. Yeah, true.
Okay. It's not Chubb's or Fant's fault. They were drafted in the first round, and they haven't panned out.
True.
Okay.
More or less. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I don't blame Noah Fant that he was drafted in the first round. Is he worthy of a first rounder right now? No, of course not. He hasn't played up to that level. Has Bradley Chubb played up to a number five overall? No. Has it been disappointing? Of course it has been. But I guess that's more or less a true statement.
All right. Bridgewater is a great quarterback, and Pat Shermer is the quarterback whisperer.
Now, that's false. That would be entirely false. I've been, from day one, telling everybody who Teddy Bridgewater is. And at his best, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be like a top 16. At his highest, he's going to be like number 16 in the NFL, middle of the road. I said that from day one when everything was going well in weeks one through three. I said, hey, expect a revert to the means. Lo and behold, we got exactly what we got. So that one is for sure false. And the Pat Shermer one, hello? Is anybody listening to me?
The offensive line is a flaming bag of dog crap on Pat Shermer's front porch. Bring back Shermer.
Wow. Okay, let's separate a few here, okay? Yeah. So that's kind of like two different statements. Offensive line's been really bad this year. They've allowed pressures one out of every three passes. Matter of fact, that's the worst in the NFL. It's really, really bad. So offensive line has not been good at all this year. Garrett Bowles has reverted. He's allowed five sacks on the air, and he's missed a couple games. So it's been a bad year for the offensive line. To bring back Shermer, I don't know where they – I'm big time down on Pat Shermer. Big time.
Last one, not scoring points is Vic's fault. Fire Vic, hire Shermer as the head coach. What?
False. Who is this dude?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Holy cow. Could I get any lower on Pat Shermer than I have in the last 6 weeks?
I don't know.
Yeah, they don't listen very often. It's all right.
It's okay.
James, happy Friday to that dude, though.
There you go. James Merrillat is one of your good friends that you hate to hang out with, nicknamed Buzzkill. I love hanging out with James. I've hung out with James several times. James is a fun guy to hang out with.
James is great.
I got no problems hanging out with James whatsoever.
Right, because he's the only dude on the station that makes you look like a nice dude. Huh?
That's it? I am a nice dude. I'm always a nice dude. Then ragging on Shermer. Anyways, good afternoon. How you doing? What's going on? Any new cow news?
I'm doing great. No cow sightings today, although they're still out there. I was asked about it. That cow story, that made quite the news yesterday. I got lots of people sending me messages about the cows, about the cow gang that's on the run. They're still out there, man. Nobody's brought them in, but I did not see them today.
They're still on loose, though?
They're out there.
Man, why'd you let me pick the freaking Saints last night?
I told you not to do that.
I
know exactly why you did it, because you're like, oh, Tebow's playing. I should pick the Saints.
Man, how bad did Taysom Hill look?
Dude.
How terrible was that?
That was...
Why didn't Trevor play?
Well, they gave Trevor a shot, wasn't working well, so they went over to Taysom Hill. Simple as that.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't working.
You would think at some point they would have gone back to him, dude. I mean, I was watching that game, and I seriously, internally, was 100% prepared to come in today and have you make an argument of Taysom Hill, Tim Tebow. You could make an offense out of that. You could go win a championship.
I don't know.
And then the game happened.
I mean, you can't make, if your quarterback has zero judgment, no finesse skills, doesn't know how to really throw a ball, it doesn't matter. You know, of course he had that crazy run where he jumped over a dude.
That was cool.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, how many yards did he get on that? 20 yards, maybe? I mean, what's the difference between that and a 12-yard pass and your tight end goes for 8 yards? I mean, you know, in the end, so I was like, wow, that's the Faku Campazzo of football right there. You know, just because you have one or two little spectacular plays, it doesn't forgive the, you know, six straight air balls that you jack up.
Oh, no, no. He was horrible. God awful. He threw the pick six, and I was more thinking he was going to throw six picks. It seriously felt like he was going in that direction at one point. And by the way, that combination between the two teams, there was like a five-minute period where there were five turnovers. That was nuts.
It was crazy. I mean, it actually kept the Saints somewhat in the game.
I know. And there was a part of me wondering if DQ was about to have another meltdown. I was watching that thing there up 20-10. I'm like, oh no, if Dan Quinn has another meltdown right now on national stage, he'll never live it down.
Well, that's what I wasn't getting. Like, the Cowboys were making mistakes too. Like, put in Simeon. Yeah, you're still in this game. I mean, you're Taysom Hill is just horrible.
Yeah.
How much money did they give him, by the way?
Well, it's a weird contract. It basically like doubles if he's playing quarterback. So it was a hybrid deal that's paying on two separate positions. I don't recall the specifics of it, but I do know that it goes up exponentially when he is playing QB. So he might have made a bunch of extra money last night just for that one game. You know, not only the fact did they play him, not only the fact was it not going well, was it obvious they should have gone back to Trevor Siemian, but then he broke his finger or whatever he did with that thing, and he was wearing the splint on his throwing hand.
Yeah, so why keep him in the game?
The dude can't throw the ball anyways, and now he's trying to throw the ball with a splint on his finger.
So explain that to me from a coaching perspective.
I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I agree with you. I mean, I'm in agreement with you. That was a bad decision.
Okay. I mean, I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. I mean, I get it. Trevor didn't play that great, but he had to be a better option. By the way, you don't think the Saints are going to be... Well, we can go into it, but there's going to be a few teams looking for quarterbacks, and the Saints are going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And the three big names at free agency are going to be Bridgewater, Mariota, Winston.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the three big names. We're getting a feel of who the college guys are. There's like five different dudes there. And then there's Rodgers, Watson, Wilson in terms of trades.
Yeah, the Saints might have interest in Teddy Bridgewater when it's all said and done. I would imagine they would probably stick with Jameis Winston rather than try to make a move for Teddy Bridgewater. But you're right. I mean, they're going to be a quarterback needy team. They know Teddy. They certainly have got history with him. They allegedly were interested in trading for him at the trade deadline. So maybe when it all comes down to it, there'll be another team out there that wants to offer Teddy a contract. I still stand by the fact that if I'm the Broncos, I know that Teddy is very likely to be on this team. He's very likely to be the quarterback next year. But I see no pressure to rush out there and give a deal because, dude, I mean, even if the Saints are out there and if they do want Teddy, even if there is another team that wants him as a starting QB, the worst case scenario, you just got to pay the same amount of money.
All right. Well, we're off and rolling on another just absolutely incredible day here in Colorado as we get closer to the biggest game in the past 5 years. Easy as the Broncos face the Chiefs, and they'll have to do so most likely without Melvin Gordon. Details coming up.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos, getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's the drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We'll get to the reminiscing of the streak in just a little bit, but first some Broncos news. Coach Fangio, what is your confidence? Well, where's Melvin Gordon here?
Yeah, doubtful. It says here, doubtful means a 75% chance not play.
Oh, he's playing.
Really?
Just something about the way he said that. Oh, he's doubtful. It says right here, 75% chance that he won't play. There's a remaining 25% in there. I think that's where he's headed.
Oh.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
No, I don't know that at all. But just listen to the way he said it. Didn't it kind of say it sound
yeah,
like?
Yeah, doubtful. It says here, doubtful means a 75% chance not play.
I think so. I do.
Meanwhile, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is questionable, so he's banged up, running back for the Chiefs. Coach Fangio, what's your confidence in Javonte Williams?
Really high.
Okay.
Wow, really high. He's in a good mood today. Fangio's really in a playful high. Mood.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Will Javonte get the bulk of the carries?
Javonte would get really the bulk high. Of it, but Mike would go in there some.
Well, look at how kind and polite he sounds. He's just got that tone, that the inflection in his voice. It's there. It's nice. He's happy to see it. Oh, wait, you weren't there?
I wasn't there today.
I get it. Now I get it.
You think that's what it was?
Yep. I mean, significant difference in the voice inflection.
He was happy not to see me there?
Very significant difference.
Really high.
Okay. Well, anything I can do to help. I'm here to be helpful. Bolsey was back.
He did fine. You know, yesterday was the first day. He had a good focus. And today, I think, looked good, too. Is this thing not on? You guys can't hear me? I think he's fine. He'll be ready to play.
Chaos.
Happy, man. That must have been the best practice of the year, dude.
I guess so. And one more. Will Gordon participate in pregame warm-ups?
We'll see. You know, it's doubtful, but that's why we didn't list him as out, because, you know, if he makes a turn, you know, he can play.
Okay. I guess I'd be surprised if he plays. If he does play, I hardly think he's going to, you know. Well, I don't. Who knows? He's not out. You know, if he was out, he'd be out, but he's not.
Oh, I don't know if he's playing or not. I'm just more or less messing around. It's just something about his voice made it feel like he was messing with people.
It's funny, Vic.
Yeah, it's funny, Vic.
That's cut up Vic right there.
Yeah. Man, I mean, it can't be a coincidence that the day that you weren't there was the day that he was so happy.
I've seen funny Vic before.
Yeah?
Yeah, not much, though.
Okay.
Hey, Vic's going to Vic. I guess that's the new thing to say around here. Raiders are going to Raiders, Chargers are going to Chargers, Teddy's going to Teddy. You know, Vic's going to Vic.
Okay. What's that mean?
I have no idea. No. But I've just heard a lot of people use, you know, somebody's going to somebody.
What does it mean if he drives to work with his left-hand turn signal on the whole time? What does that mean?
That he's late for the 4:30 buffet.
Is there a difference between if it was the right-hand turn signal?
He's just in Vic world. He's just, you know, thinking about that Friends rerun he's going to watch on, you know, the one that Joey goes out for the commercial.
Oh.
You know, he's just thinking about that. Nickelodeon's got his calling him later tonight.
Just trying to make sure I fully understand James Merrilat's analogies. I didn't know if there'd be a difference if it was a right-hand turn signal guy.
I don't know what that means. What was James saying? I didn't catch what he was saying on that one.
He was just saying that Vic's the type of guy that drives to work with his left-hand turn signal on the entire way.
Well, that's an old...
Because he's oblivious, is what he's saying.
Right. I know. James doesn't like Vic. I get it. I mean, you know, we're all looking for those moments to embrace Uncle Vic. He's a cut-up, though, no doubt.
Yeah, doubtful. It says here, doubtful means a 75% chance not play.
So if you guys only had the script, you would know.
I don't care. I don't think he's going to play, but, you know, who knows? I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. Tyler, you tell me, is it important to practice during the week or not?
Well, it depends on who you are, it depends on how old you are, and it depends on what position you play. I don't think the running back would matter all too much. It's not like the technique of running back. It comes down to, like, you got to practice the same sets every single day. You got to work on the same footwork every single day. Oh, yeah, there's a certain amount of footwork, and certainly there's a degree of that goes into playing the position. But more or less, are you an athlete? Are you ready to rock and roll or not? If you're ready to rock and roll, I would imagine you could play. I don't think he's going to go, though. I'm with you. It doesn't feel like Melvin's going to play in the game. They've talked a lot about how Javonte is going to get the workload. And I'm excited about that. I mean, it's not that I'm down on Melvin Gordon. Melvin's been fine outside of the fumbles. But I am excited about seeing Javonte get double the carries that he normally does.
Meanwhile, we're looking back. We're looking back on that losing streak and loss number 8, Bloody Thursday.
October 7, 2019. Bloody Thursday at Mile High. A new year, a new coach and quarterback for the Broncos. As Vic Fangio and Joe Flacco took their turn at snapping a Kansas City winning streak that now sat at 7. In an image not for the faint of heart, Flacco was physically annihilated against a Chiefs defense that pummeled Denver's offensive line to the tune of 9 sacks.
Second down and 9 here for the Broncos, down by 7. Ball is out. There for the Chiefs, and Ragland takes it in for the touchdown. Knocked out by Hicks. possessions. And without Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' defense has let us take it into the end zone.
However, on this night, it was Kansas City's quarterback that wouldn't finish the game as a knee injury sent Patrick Mahomes to the sideline. And journeyman Matt Moore, just weeks removed from coaching high school, awesome, onto the action at Empower Field.
Moore steps
in. Fantastic.
Behind the defense, he is gone for the touchdown. No flags.
It was a nationally televised beatdown, encapsulated by the poetic words of Troy Aikman.
This is about as bad on offense as I've seen. I'm shocked there's as many people still here at the game. Jeez.
Bloody Thursday demonstrated to the entire nation two teams clearly headed in opposite directions. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
It's all going to be different now, D-Mac. It's all going to be different now.
That one was really depressing.
Don't worry about that. I mean, yeah, it hurt. Yeah, it felt like he got stabbed a little bit. Maybe it was like 1,000 little slices. I don't know. But don't worry about that because it's going to be different.
Whew. That, to me, was the most depressing of them all. Right there, that one right there. That was the worst one out of all of them.
Man, there's been so many. They all just run together. And there's little memories, like little pockets, little plays. Like you think about Joe Flacco, you've got a few memories. You think about Case Keenum, you got a few memories. For the most part, I kind of black them all out, dude. I just kind of try to forget them.
I've actually, the details on quite a few of these, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of remember that. Oh, that one I remember. It's Matt Moore. You know, I think that did the Broncos have the lead at that point, too? It was something, at least it was close. I don't know. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Losing that one made it feel like, wow, we are never,
well,
ever going to beat these guys.
I do remember when Mahomes went down, it felt like, holy cow, this is it.
We
had some momentum.
Here
the game was going well. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes goes out.
Yep.
This is the year. This is when we're going to capitalize on it. And nope, no, sir. I mean, apparently, what was he, math teacher? Is that what they said?
Right.
Yeah.
He was probably doing something. He was like teaching high school. He was doing something.
Right.
He wasn't playing football. And I mean, Joe Flacco was in his prime.
He was. Well, now he's in his prime. I mean, now that the Jets traded for him, now he's in his prime.
I mean, I thought we were going to win.
Really high.
I don't know. Maybe I was. Who knows? I had some hope.
That's right. Damn it.
Okay.
I like it. I'm telling you, there is there's a side of Vic Fangio that if you were inside that building, you would love the way he talks to the media. You would. You would rally behind it. You'd be like, that's my dog. That's my guy.
That's him.
Really high.
If things are going well, I'm sure everything's great. And right now things are going well. So we'll see if they can take advantage of it. And man, it's a big one. How good of a shot do the Broncos have? Let's get some insight from John Clayton on that coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos, getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
John Clayton is our senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. Joining us now, courtesy of Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and DenverFan.com. John, you write that the secondary for the Broncos is the best chance against the Chiefs. Why?
Well, because, I mean, you can see just on, particularly you go back to Sunday, Ronald Darby had his best game of the season. Patrick Surtain was defensive player, AFC defensive player of the week. And so, that's got to be encouraging, and you know how good the two safeties are. I mean, Kareem Jackson right now is a leading bolt kicker for the Pro Bowl. Justin Simmons is one of the best safeties in the league. And so the secondary should be ready for this game. Now it's a matter, can they get pressure on the quarterback with the linebackers and everything else? And can the offense get off to the good start that they want to get?
John, I don't know how much you've looked at this year's free agency class for quarterbacks, but I'll give you a little help just in case. It's led by guys like Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and then there's a significant drop-off after that. So I'm curious your thoughts. When we get to the offseason, are there going to be multiple teams out there that would like Teddy Bridgewater to be a starting quarterback?
I mean, there'll be some teams because, again, there's not as many teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks as there were this year. I mean, what is it? They started the season, there was like 13 quarterback changes, and there's not going to be as many this year, coming next year, coming up. And so, like, I don't know what's going to happen in Denver, with Bridgewater. Some team that doesn't get the quarterback that they want. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to be, in the big mix and all that. New Orleans is going to be looking for a quarterback. We'll see about the New York Football Giants, whether they're going to be looking for a quarterback. Detroit, I don't know where they stand. But again, there's not going to be as many teams, so the opportunity may not be as much there as anything else. And obviously, Denver's going to be looking for a quarterback.
John, you're a Seattle guy. We are casually, maybe more aggressively casually, looking at Russell Wilson in that situation. What's the latest there, and what do you think is the most likely fallout situation with Carroll, Wilson, and the Seahawks?
I think they all stay, and the main reason is that if you get rid of Russell Wilson in any kind of a trade, now you have to go through a 3-4 year rebuilding process and be a 5-6 win team, and I don't think they want to do that. Russell may be upset with what's going on. That's a possibility. But again, he has a no trade clause in his contract. And you saw that no quarterback wanted more out to get out of Green Bay than Aaron Rodgers. And guess who's still in Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers. So I think they all stay. Pete Carroll has years left in his contract. They don't want to go through some kind of rebuilding phase. But if you trade Russell Wilson, you're doomed for 4 or 5 years.
All right, John, we'll read the latest at denverfan.com. Thank you, John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer, courtesy of Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Wow, that's the first time I've actually heard that there's no change? They all just come back?
Well, it's a fair thought. I mean, I think that lives within a world of possibility for sure. Hey, Pete Carroll's had a lot of success over the years, so are you just going to bail on it because of one bad year? I don't know. I mean, John's not crazy. What it comes down to, how mad is Russell Wilson and how badly does he want a divorce? Because if Russell Wilson is okay with continuing, the easiest thing would be to just, move forward with both those guys. But if Russ puts his foot down, then they're probably going to have to make a decision. And guess who's going to win? Well, the quarterback's going to win.
When I was tortured living in Buffalo for 5 years, there...
Tortured? What do you mean? You still fantasize about it every single day, every single night. You talk about Buffalo, 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 Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen.
Please don't confuse the two.
Oh, it's just Josh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is it about Josh? Like, is it the...
Well, he should be the Denver Broncos quarterback. Oh, he should be contending for an MVP, and we should be going to the playoffs again. I mean, that's the Josh Allen thing. It just so happens he goes to a place I used to live, but trust me, do you think I want to go back and live in Buffalo? What are you,
it's like,
nuts?
It's like the Walking Dead out there, dude.
And here's... one of the weird things that was going on. I got there in the last year of the four Super Bowl losses. My first year in Buffalo was there last year.
Okay.
So I was, hey, man, I was excited. This is my first year. I'm relatively young. I'm in a team that's contending for a Super Bowl.
I mean, that was a dynasty, dude.
Are you kidding me? I thought it was awesome. But there was a vibe from some fans that had just been put through the mill, man, of just like, I can't take it. I can't take it. Like, I don't even want them to go to the playoffs again because I can't take it. Be careful what you ask for, because they went through a 17-year stretch where they didn't go to the playoffs at all. But when I look at this on the text line, enough with this is the most important game since the Super Bowl. We're not going to win this game, so I don't know why you guys have been touting it all week. You should have just let it slide. And that's what that feels like. Like, you've been burned by it. You've been scarred by it. It's too painful. It's too much.
Oh, sure. Hey, man, the Broncos are 9.5-point dogs in the majority of the books. I saw them as 10-point dogs on Superbook earlier in the week. I think that moved a little bit. But point being, they are definitely a major underdog in this game. Okay, that doesn't change the reality of what's on the line right now. I mean, with the promos, the vignettes, everything that we've been talking about this week, it's real. we have not had an opportunity like this since Super Bowl 50. You win the game, you're in the driver's seat. It doesn't make it any more attainable. It certainly doesn't make the Chiefs any more beatable. Richie just sent me a graphic. I mean, we know that the Chiefs have been the Jekyll and Hyde team. Very similar to the Broncos, by the way. Both teams have been Jekyll and Hyde. You know what the Chiefs defense has done over since week 8? They're allowing 11.8 points per game. Mm-hmm. 11.8. That's under 12 if you're keeping count there. That's a good football team. That's going to win you a lot of football games. So the Texans got a point. That's fair. But it's also going to make it that much more rewarding if you can pull it off, because not only are you in the driver's seat, but you put this all behind you.
God, I'm still lingering on Clayton saying, that seems just so hard for me to believe that Carroll and Wilson come back to the Seahawks next year.
Why? They've had success for a decade. You're going to give up on that amount of success over 1 year. Now, I could see it breaking up. If Russell Wilson wants it to break up, he'll break it up, because quarterbacks have got that kind of power. But from an organizational point of view, if you're running the show out there, are you really wanting to give up on Pete Carroll after one bad year? And you're definitely, we know you don't want to give up on Russell Wilson. So
I don't know.
Well, right, but anybody with a working brain, if you're running the Seahawks, you don't want to give up on Russell Wilson.
Well, why did last year Russell Wilson have his agent put out his most desirable teams to go to?
Yeah, that's his point of view. So if Russ wants to put his foot down, if he wants to cause a divorce, then he can do it.
Okay.
I'm saying from the team's point of view, though, you definitely don't want to let go of Russ. And if I'm running the show, I probably don't want to let go of Pete either after one bad year with all the success that he's had.
Well, how important is it that Russ and Pete get along?
Obviously, it's important. I don't think it's the end of the day. I don't think it's everything. You know, look what's going on out in Green Bay. You think Aaron Rodgers gets along with everybody?
That's a great question. You know, I think I'm not sure. It seems like he hates the general manager.
I think it's
it seems like he likes LaFleur, and it seems like he likes Hackett.
So I would say the quarterback head coach relationship is the most important relationship in all of sports with middle tier quarterbacks. If you're middle tier or below, you got to be in unison, and you got to like each other. Because if you don't like each other, you're not going to work well together. If you don't work well together, you're not going to call the right plays for the dude. And if you don't call the right plays, then he's not going to have success. But if you've got an elite quarterback, well, it kind of bypasses all of that, because elite quarterbacks are going to be good no matter what.
I think it's going to be tricky with Wilson, Watson, and Rodgers. That's all, I guess. I think we know it's going to be tricky. And I think when we saw what we saw last night, it's just... Saints are going to be in the market, man. They got to be in the market. That is one way or the other.
Well,
and then you got
they'll be in the market, but very similar to our situation. Denver Broncos, we do need a quarterback, and we're looking at the free agency list. Are we seeing somebody that looks more attractive than Teddy Bridgewater? Not really. If you're the Saints and you hit free agency, are you seeing a quarterback that looks more attractive than Jameis Winston? Not really. So I could see both teams just moving forward with the same dudes.
Would you rather have Winston or Bridgewater?
That's a tough one. I guess, like, on the surface, if we didn't have a year invested with Teddy, and if the staff wasn't returning, I'd probably rather roll the dice with Jameis Winston, because mm-hmm. the upside is higher. Given that we've had Teddy, and given the success that he's had with the poor offensive line and everything else that's been going on, and especially if Vic Fangio and Pat Shermer return, I'd rather have continuity with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, here's a quirky one. Peyton has had Teddy Bridgewater, so he knows what it's like with Winston and Teddy Bridgewater. Who would he rather have?
Hold on. Confusing me. Where did George Peyton
Sean Peyton.
Oh, Sean Peyton. I'm sorry. There's two Peytons here. Yeah.
True.
Who would he rather have? I don't know. Probably continuity. Although continuity got interrupted this year. So it's a fair question. Jameis Winston didn't play the whole year. Right. So I don't know, D-Mac. I think that's a fair question. My guess is Jameis Winston, because if the Saints wanted to keep Teddy around, they could have.
Do you think Marcus Mariota is a good Taysom Hill?
He's way better than Taysom Hill.
Way better.
Oh, yeah.
But he still has the running ability, theoretically, if he's healthy, and that kind of athleticism.
Different. It's a similar, like, explosiveness. The agility is all there. He's obviously not as tough. He's obviously not going to run through dudes.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like Tim Tebow. and Taysom Hill does. I don't know. I mean, if I had to give both those guys a grade, like one through 10 as a QB, I'd put Taysom Hill as like a 5, maybe Marcus Mariota as a 6, something like that.
Okay. I mean, listen, I don't know how if you watched that game last night, you realize just what hell teams are in if they just really don't have a quarterback or they go in a direction it doesn't work out. I mean, it's just, holy cow. I mean, it looks absolutely brutal. In fairness, it makes Teddy look better and better. There are certain times that, you know, you think, well, you're jealous of maybe teams that really got it going on. But when you teams that really don't have anything, it's like, oh, my God. Well, at least we don't look like that.
Just circling back on your question in regards to Sean Payton, which one of those two quarterbacks would he prefer? Well, the interesting part of what he's been doing with Jameis Winston this year, at least when he was playing, he was asking Jameis Winston to play like Teddy Bridgewater, not Jameis Winston. Hmm. He wasn't setting Jameis Winston free. He wasn't letting him toss the ball all over the place. No, he was containing him, and he was trying to make sure that he didn't hurt the football team. So maybe there is an argument there that Sean Payton would rather have Teddy Bridgewater.
All right, well, the latest from Dove Valley today in terms of who's hurt, who's not, who's going, who's where we stand on that. And our guy Cecil breaking it down on the Chiefs details next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Broncos injury report is presented by Spine One, and I don't know, they're actually getting relatively healthy, which is good news. That's cool. Bowles is back. Melvin Gordon's really the only one with this hip sort of thing, Tyler, that looks kind of questionable. Other than that, everybody's kind of good to go.
Well,
so
actually, it's doubtful, D-Mac, just to be clear. And that means, to be very specific, there's 75% chance that he will not play in the game.
Right.
Yeah, doubtful. It says here, doubtful means a 75% chance not play. Really high.
Okay.
So there's 25% chance that he'll be out there.
That's your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. I wouldn't count on him. I don't know. It's probably not the worst thing in the world. You get most of the opportunity. Javonte Williams, you think he's ready by this point?
Oh, of course. No, I'm not worried about it. I like our running back room. I don't feel like a necessity to turn Javonte Williams into the workhorse moving forward the rest of the year. But I'm also not afraid of it. Obviously, Javonte Williams has earned the right to get a lot of carries. And I do think that we might see him pop because he's been able to do a lot of stuff, a lot of really good things on half the reps that he would be getting in this game. So, okay, man, double up those reps and maybe something pops here.
On the text line, make
God,
sure
that
you,
was like brilliant, wasn't it?
He
was getting half, so now if he gets double, it's like, whew, science.
Not exactly like a third.
Right, but it's like a half.
Guys, make sure you ask Cecil for an autograph since he's a former athlete.
That's a good point.
Well, people are,
yeah. Cecil, the dunk master. I think he did a 360, actually. It's not just that he can dunk, he can do a 360.
Here's Cecil talking.
Hey, thanks for this injury report, Richie. We just did that. Yeah, thanks, though. I appreciate you bringing it in, but we just did it. Yeah.
Did I miss anything? Let's see. We got a bunch of guys who are questionable. Miners, what's wrong with him?
Mm-hmm. Wow, actually, listen, is questionable. All right.
Mm-hmm. But doubtful is 75%. So what's questionable? 50%?
Well, questionable is if you got a hangnail.
Right.
They want to list you as questionable because they want to be able to put you in doubt for the other team. So they're thinking about it.
Clyde's Edwards-Hilaire, by the way, has like a stomach flu, and he's going to play too. So,
all right. So Rashad Fenton's out for the Chiefs. That's good. Lucas Niang is out for the Chiefs. That's good. They've had issues at right tackle. They've been down to their third team right tackle. We'll see if Kyle Long's going to bump out there and play right tackle. He's coming off the PUP list this week. But that's been one area of deficiency for them. And it would be a great opportunity for Bradley Chubb to find a day against a backup tackle.
Here's our guy Cecil about Tyreek Hill. In the games where the Chiefs opponent has the most success, it's wide receiver Tyreek Hill that is limited due to an opponent's game plan. And their four losses in 2021, Hill was never the leading receiver. Hill had three catches for 14 yards against the Ravens, five for 56 against the Chargers, seven for 63 against the Bills, six for 49 against the Titans. Notice how Hill did not catch any touchdowns in any of the four losses of the season. Advanced data and film studies show if you limit Hill, you give yourself the best chance to win against
the
Chiefs.
Not just the data, D-Mac. The data doesn't show it. Only the advanced data shows that.
Why just go to the regular data?
Right, right.
Okay, how about that? It's not really Kelsey.
Is there like a dark web version of football stuff?
There's the Cecil web.
There's like, you got to get on like a VPN and stuff in order to get to the dark web version of the deep analytics.
It's only accessible by dunking. So,
all right, here's my question, Cecil. Okay, good observation. Fine, that's great. It makes a lot of sense to me. If you control Tyreek Hill, you've got an opportunity to win. He's the big playmaker. He's the guy that's going to score quickly. And if he doesn't do that in a game, all right, you're going to have a fighting chance. All right, how do you stop it, though, right? That's the question. How do you stop it? How did the teams do that? I don't know that there's an answer for that. You get lucky.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have an answer for you.
I mean, seven catches is still a lot of catches against the Bills. I mean, he didn't go very far. Is that it? Just keep him in front of you? Let him catch the ball and just don't let him get behind
you? I don't know, man. I don't think it's as simple as that, because how many times do you see Patrick Mahomes on third down? It'll be like third and 12. He'll throw a little six-yard crossing route to Tyreek Hill and just let him take off.
All the time. And
he picks up the first down. So, no, it's not as simple as just keeping him in front of you. I don't have the answer. It's not like I'm sitting here and I'm telling you I've got the answers on how to stop Tyreek Hill. But, no, it's not as simple as that, because if you give him space, hey, space is your worst enemy when you're going up against an athlete like that.
Ugh, I hate to rain on Cecil's parade here, but I'm just looking at the numbers against the Raiders. Tyreek Hill, one catch for 2 yards. They scored 41 points and beat the Raiders 41-14.
I don't doubt the legitimacy of Cecil's point at all. I think it's a very valid point. It makes a lot of sense, because Tyreek Hill is the quick play guy. Like, when you think about the Chiefs and they're going to score in 25 seconds, well, they do that with Tyreek Hill. That's how they do that. So if you can prevent that, fantastic. I just don't have a solution for you, and I don't think anybody in the NFL does.
You know, we've been making such a big deal about how great the defense has been for the Chiefs the past month, which it has been. But during that time, okay, they blew out the Raiders 41-14, but they didn't score in their other three wins, Tyler. Yeah, the defense played well, but the offense didn't score more than 21 points.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up with that?
Like, well, if you look at the first half of the season, the defense was giving up 30 points per game, but the offense was scoring a lot of points. So they've kind of slowed down in both regards, and I'll tell you what's happening and why they're not as high-powered in their offensive scoring in the last few weeks. Because do you know what they've been doing different? I guess a little quick pop quiz for you. What's been different for the Chiefs offensively?
I don't know.
Well, they're running the ball downhill, and that's something that they normally do not do. You know,
downhill?
Well, when they run the ball, historically, they call RPOs, and they're going to try to bounce it outside, or it's going to turn into a pass. Probably three times out of four, it's going to turn into a pass, so you don't even actually run the ball. Well, they've realized that they've got three tremendous interior offensive linemen, and if they go more traditional rush attack and just go down the middle, try to hit those A-gaps on the halfback dive type of plays, they're having a lot of success. So they're playing with slower tempo. Mm. They're not trying to be as explosive on offense, but they're eating up more clock.
Time of possession. They're extending things longer.
Yes.
So the Raiders game was kind of an anomaly then, huh? Man, 13. They only scored, I mean, all right, the Packers have a good team, but that was the Jordan Love game, and they only scored 13 points. And they won, but it was hardly some sort of great game. I'll look at time of possession there, because I saw with the Cowboys game, it was kind of even. Against it's pretty even against Green Bay. 28.5 to 31.5. So they've actually been more, all right, so the Chiefs have played better defensively, but they've also become a tad more conservative on offense in the past month.
They have.
They've been impacted by all their turnovers.
That always scares me a little bit with the Chiefs, though. You know, what was it? Was it last year or was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago, when they started out the first 3 weeks of the season, they were running the ball every single down. And it was like, holy cow, the Chiefs found a running game. Mm-hmm. If the Chiefs have a running game, can you imagine how good they're going to be? And that does terrify me a little bit, because, of course, I think Patrick Mahomes can still hit you over the top. But I'll say this. I do hope that they try to slow it down. I do hope that they try to play the time of possession game, because that's what the Broncos need to do as well. Broncos got to eat up a lot of clock, but they got to finish with 7 points and not three.
You know what? Maybe the Chiefs actually don't score that many points here. Maybe when we look at this game, it's about... Maybe that number's shifting a little bit. Now, how many points do you think you have to score against the Chiefs to win this game?
27.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm not banking on the Chiefs only scoring 20 points or 24 points.
Okay, because they only scored 19 against Dallas, 13 against Green Bay, 20 against the Giants. They only scored 3 points against Tennessee. I mean, yeah, they put up 41 against Vegas. They did. They did do that. All right, well, let's dig into it. And the reviews are in George Payton. And apparently, we have one of the better GMs in football. Details why next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.